This is Kevin Pruitt and another episode of Rising Tide Startups. And my guest today is Kate Sulke. Kate, thanks for joining us from the other side of the globe.
Thanks for having me.
And I think you mentioned that it's about midnight there?
It is midnight. It's, about 20 past midnight.
Wow. So I think if the roles were reversed and it was midnight on my side, I'd probably be like horizontal on the camera and my eyes would probably be closed. But it is so good to have you. And I've been stalking you on Facebook a little bit and I just love your story. So thanks for coming on and sharing your story. So tell us a little bit about who is Kate Sulke.
Well, I grew up in Toronto. I've had a million and one jobs. I kept looking for something different, thinking I was going to find the perfect job, and I kept moving to different places. I've probably moved every year since I was 18. I have a Bachelor's of Arts in psychology from university, and I've just kind of traveled all over my whole life, and I've really fallen in love with it.
So what are you doing specifically right now to kind of pay the bills and pay the airline fees?
Ah, the airline fees. Well, basically I've branded myself and my lifestyle, and I essentially help people reach out to me and I help them kind of live their dreams, escape the 9-to-5. And we run courses. I've got tips and tricks. We do network marketing. We do affiliate marketing. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting into crypto right now, but That is way at the beginning stages.
Yeah. So specifically tell us what the company or the brand name is.
So because I'm my own brand, it's called Vagabond Blonde Adventures. And essentially I have got a Facebook fan page and a Facebook group that you can follow me on, follow my adventures, and you can contact me with any kind of questions. And if someone is really interested and, you know, they really, really am seriously interested in this kind of lifestyle, they can contact me and we get them into basically a training course, which teaches them how to make money remotely online.
Okay. So tell me, what was kind of the shift? You said, you know, I've tried a number of different things since even pre-college, you said since you were 18, you may have moved every year. So,
yeah.
I mean, did you tend to move universities like you move locations or?
So in university, my parents have always traveled a lot for work. And I just remember it as a kid, like just being really excited to see photographs and, you know, the gifts. They would get me really beautiful gifts from all around the world. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of fell in love with it. I went to a French speaking school. So we went on my first trip to France. We did a tour de France when I was like 13. And so I just head over heels with traveling from then on. In university, I switched houses a lot. I moved cities. Then I moved to the Arctic Circle. And
yeah, you mentioned that in the pre-chat, just
yeah,
really casually, like when I lived in the Arctic.
But yeah, so I was always looking for a change. And I finally figured out that the saving for whatever 8 months out of the year so I can have my 2 weeks vacation is just not for me.
Yeah. So you speak French and English. You speak any other languages a little bit?
I speak
Ukrainian?
No, I am Ukrainian, but I don't speak it. But I did live in Italy for a while, so speak Italian. And in the Arctic, actually, there's a high a deaf population. Mm-hmm. So I was learning a little bit of ASL.
Oh, wow. Do they use ASL the ASL stands for
Absolutely.
American Sign Language?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we lived in France for about 3 years. So, je parle de français un peu?
Where else did you live?
We lived, mes enfants parlent très bien français. I live.
That sounds really good, though.
We live just south of Paris, down by Orly Airport, and for about a year and a half. And then we lived just outside of Marseille, kind of in a northern banlieue. But loved the south, loved Provence, and the food, mm-hmm. the culture, I'm very Mediterranean, so we lived in Jordan as well. So we've lived around the
Okay.
Mediterranean in different places. But anyway, this story
I
is
was
about
just
you and
there.
not my travels. So what was that point or that moment that you shifted and thought, okay, I'm not going to work at Starbucks in Toronto anymore. I'm going to go and we're going to travel. And I'm going to figure out a way to fund this passion or whatever. Tell us just kind of the story behind that.
Well, I was in the Arctic and I had a very wonderful job with the most amazing team of people. We had a great working relationship, but I just remember, I think I came home one day and my roommate at the time said, she's like, "What is wrong with your face?" My eyes were so bloodshot from the halogen lights and the double monitors that I was in so much pain from my eyes. And I mean, I loved the job, I really did, but just sitting all day with like monitors and screens, and I was a financial analyst, so I was looking at small numbers. I just remember thinking, there's gotta be something better than this. I realized how much I loved the people. And so as long as I was surrounded by the people I enjoyed, and I mean, I love to travel. I love meeting people. So if I can do that all together, then why not?
So who was I'm kind of moving around here on how kind of the prep I gave you a little bit, but so was there a person that inspired you that I mean when you came home and had these bloodshot eyes that non-alcohol induced and you're going, okay, so how can I, number one, what can I do? And number two, how can I do it? I mean, I think that is such a a question that so many people in your, kind of in your age demographic and lifestyle really want to know. They want to know how I can do this.
Exactly. So I had kind of been following some people on Instagram, on Facebook, for maybe a couple months in the summer, this past summer, by the way. And I just kept contacting them. I probably really bothered them, but I didn't care. I was like, I need in. I need this. And they just kept posting photos and just about their lives. And they're actually here in Bali now. So my mentor, his name is Felix, and he finally said to me one day, he's like, if you're serious about this, really serious, then I will take the time. And I said, I am 100%, and I didn't have a plan B.
I
So
mean, for crying out
it was
loud, Felix, I work
plan
in the
A all the
Arctic.
way.
I mean, of course I'm
Right,
serious.
exactly. Exactly. I was like, I gotta go do more. And actually, to fly out of the Arctic is just so
Oh, yeah.
expensive that it's not really something you can just hop back and forth. It really is that expensive that you only make a couple trips a year.
Now, when you say the Arctic, specifically, where were you, and was this related to oil? I mean, what was kind of the
So
industry that's there?
I was in the capital of Nunavut, which is Iqaluit. And so
What
it's
country?
not the it's in Canada, so it's the
Okay,
Canadian
so
Arctic.
okay.
Yeah, it may as well have been a different world though, because it's gorgeous. It's amazing. I loved it, but I needed somewhere a little bit more accessible.
So it makes the Yukon Territory kind of look like Bali.
Yes, well, they have trees, so I do miss trees.
I bet. So you started. You contacted Felix and maybe some others, and you said, "Okay, how can I make this happen?" And did he have like a course, or he just kind of take you on as a coach, or what was the backstory?
Well, basically, I've been, like I said, pestering him essentially for a couple months. And he finally said, if you're serious, I'll make the time. I said, I am. And I've heard some other responses from other people who have been mentored by him and others, saying that they kind of like dipped their toe into it. But seeing as I didn't really have a plan B, I basically just jumped into the deep end. I was like, I'm in, let's do it, let's go. I didn't have a plan B, and that's kind of the mindset that you have to have. So he takes you through some through some 7-day challenges. It's just like a mindset reset,
Right.
just to make sure that you're gonna be mentally prepared for what you're gonna have to do, and just to make sure that you are still interested and that kind of thing. So, because it's not an exceptionally easy lifestyle
Right.
to have, but for me, it's worth it 100%.
I mean, the vacation aspect of this lifestyle wears off at some point in time. So,
It does,
and you
yeah.
got, okay, now I've got to motivate myself because now I feel like, every Tuesday I just can't get out of bed, because I'm thinking, well, there's really nobody pushing me. It's just kind of me. I have to be self-motivated. I have to, I'm the one that has to answer those emails. I'm the one that has to get online and do the kind of the
Exactly.
hard graft, to make this work. So, what were some of the things that you don't have to get very specific, but what were some of the things that he did initially with you that kind of was almost like a test of, how serious are you? Are you going to burn the boats here? And is it you're all in? So, what were some of the things that he kind of took you through, and have you kind of adapted some of those in your own practice?
Yes. So he basically took me through, like I mentioned, the 7-day challenge. And it is a test. And so you make things like a vision board. And you know what? If you can't come up with a vision, maybe it's not the right, maybe it's not the right fit. Also, he had us write down, well, every morning I have a couple notebooks that I write down in, and one of them is my grateful notebook, and I write down 10 things that I'm grateful for. And some days it is the most difficult thing in the world. It
Yeah,
is
I'm
not
sure.
as easy as it sounds. So that was another one. And it's just to make sure that you kind of are ready to take a leap of faith.
Yeah, and you would tend to, I think, if you did this every morning, you tend to think, I'm recycling these. I'm kind of using the same ones over and over, and I've got to come up with 10 new ones every day.
Some mornings is I am grateful for my
Yeah, that's
coffee
right.
because it's a stretch, but other mornings it's very easy and I'm,
Sure.
sitting on the beach with a coconut, so
Exactly. I mean, you have some incredible, images on Instagram and on Facebook. Or you're really a fun follow. I mean, since we got connected on
thank you.
Facebook, I mean, some of the things you post, because I've liked them or whatever, I mean, they tend to come up in my feed. So it was really interesting. I was looking forward to this interview just based on some of the things that you had posted earlier. So tell me what the, you said you started this about 18 months ago. You started kind of this, you're all in
Less than
travel.
that.
So what time? What's the time frame?
September.
Oh,
September of this
September.
year.
Wow.
So
So
it's been
you're,
four months.
wow. So it may be hard to answer these next questions, but give me kind of the highlight or the low light of the last 4 months. Start with the low light. Let's end on a high note. So what was the
All right.
hardest thing you've experienced in those 4 months?
So one of the hardest things, and I did have to think about this when I got your prep questions, was basically having people understand that this is not a quick fix. This is not a get rich scheme. This is hard work, and it takes time, and it takes practice, and perseverance and consistency. So I mean, you'll notice that I post around the same time every day, because I need that consistency. And if you're going to be lax about it and people just think, oh yeah, no, these people look like they're having so much fun all the time, and it is actually hard work to come up with posts all the time. But it is great when you go and do stuff. Like today I went to the temple, so I had things to post. But some days, we work at the desk, or we go to a cafe and we work for 6 hours. But it feels good because you're working for yourself and you're progressing and you're learning and you're practicing. So yeah, that would be one of the things is a low point. It's just people who don't understand that this is not easy, but like I mentioned, it's worth it.
Did you have to come to that realization yourself? I mean, what was kind of the was I mean, when you came into it, did you come into it pretty eyes wide open, or like eyes half open, and you're thinking, I thought I really understood what I was getting into, but then, there was a Tuesday that or a Wednesday that I got up and I'm thinking, I hate my life, what can I do to, can I go back to the Arctic and get strained eyes at the computer screen, that type of thing. So, was there that
Actually,
moment?
I came into it with eyes pretty like on fire, like eyes on the prize kind of thing. I had when I got back from living in Italy, I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I just kind of got recruited into doing like business to business sales. And I was fairly good at it, but it wears off really quickly. And I was young and I wasn't ready for the to pound the pavement every
Sure.
single day
Right.
in the winter, holding my little binder. So actually this time I knew what I was getting into, and I knew that it wasn't going to be easy. I knew it was going to be hard work, but that I would have a wonderful community around me, who we can ask questions to in any time zone, and someone will be awake to answer.
Right.
So that was one of the things. I knew that I had some help, but I knew that it would be a lot of hard work on my end, but that it would be worth it. And I was tired of constantly switching jobs all the time, looking for fulfillment.
Right. Now, did you mentioned Italy? This was prior to last September, right? So
Oh yeah. Yeah, I
what was the
lived.
Italy phase, or and were there other phases? I mean, you went to did you went to university in Toronto? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and then you
Well,
then
it's
what?
outside of Toronto, but yeah.
Okay.
I lived after university. I was working in a call center, where I got yelled at all the time.
Of course you did.
And exactly. And so I decided to move to Italy and be a nanny. I had been a nanny in university
Like an au
in
pair type
Germany,
thing.
but I was an au pair.
Okay.
So for just one summer, I was an au pair in Germany, and I loved it. So I said after university, why don't I just do that again? So then I came back and kind of had to fall back into like daily life,
Right.
which was really difficult for me. So.
Is it easier for, I mean, it would be somewhat difficult, I think, for an American to get a kind of a long-term visa. Is it easier, do you think, for Canadians to get long-term visas in Europe for that for
Oh
that
yeah.
particular thing?
100%. My visa didn't, it wasn't difficult to get. It's a working holiday visa. It allows me to stay in the country for a year. But I know just because I've got American friends, and actually all my family is American, that they have a really difficult time getting visas. But yes, so it's not easy in Canada, but they don't make you jump through so many hoops.
So I took you off on a little bit of a rabbit trail there. So you started
Worries.
with kind of the most difficult thing you've dealt with, but tell me, what's the highlight of the last, four or 5 months? What would you say, this is what got me out of bed every morning right here. This was the pinnacle of that 4 months.
There's a couple things, but I won't
Hey,
dive
it's
too
your
much
time.
into
You can go on both of them if
it.
you want to.
Well, a friend and I, we backpacked Europe for October and November of this year, and our first stop was Paris, and we are sitting in this very expensive but not worth it Airbnb on the 16th, like top floor of this building. It's a one room apartment with a mattress on the floor, and I'm sitting on my laptop, and I bought my ticket to Bali. I just bought it, and I think we high-fived. And then I think we both fell asleep from jet lag. But that was one of the highlights, was just buying my ticket to Bali, because it's something that I always wanted to do. Another high is just being surrounded by a great group of people all the time. We've got our own like Bali group chat, and people will say, I'm going to work at this cafe today at noon. Does anyone want to come? And so we've got photos of all of us, working
Right.
and hanging out and going for dinner and celebrating birthdays and achievements, and so it's great.
Now, was that group connected to what Felix was doing and what Felix put together? Or is this like something you
Yeah.
just found on Facebook or what?
No, this is the group that's connected to the course portion, to the network marketing portion of what we do. But there are a lot of co-working groups in Bali, where I'm sure there's like a Facebook group, and you can just say I'm going here, or you can tag along to someone else, and people just bounce ideas off each other. It's a really incredible thing to be a part of.
I got a crazy question for you because I do a I kind of host an informal co-working thing on Fridays here in the States, and
Sure.
I mean I have my day job. I'm in an office, but on Fridays I do my day job work, but I do it in a in another environment. So how do you in your environment when you're in a co-working space all the time, so how do you deal with that one or two people that are they're just a chat? You're trying to get work done and they're just yakking, you know? And you're going, look, is it the peer pressure of the group that kind of sets in and says, you know, hey, we don't mind chatting a little bit, but we're actually here to do work. You know, we understand that, you know, you have a trust fund that daddy pays for you to be here and you're just on vacation, but I've got a job to do, you know? So
Yeah.
how do you kind of deal with that? In a nice way, obviously.
Well, I'm pretty well organized. So what I'll do is I will save my really difficult things for either home or for the group that I know is there to work. And on the groups that I know that people are a little bit more chatty, I'll bring questions because they clearly want to chat. Why not make it productive? So I'll bring questions about, can you show me this program? Can you show me what you're doing here? What do we think about this? Can you? And I'll bounce ideas back off them. Another thing that I'll do is put my earphones in and listen to Vivaldi and Tchaikovsky, and that usually helps.
That's the universal sign of I want to work, don't talk to me
Right.
right now. So,
Yes, of course.
hey, I love Vivaldi. I'm more of a
Me
Mozart
too.
guy, but I love Vivaldi is my close second. So, yeah.
Ah.
One thing I want to tell you that's completely kind of off track here, but you know, I'm a little scattered anyway, so this is kind of the fun thing. But looking
Yeah.
at the music that you listed on your Facebook profile, my goodness, I started listening. I love that we have such, and I hope you don't are offended by this, but our music taste
No.
is so similar. I mean, I had these were, you know, new groups that I hadn't heard of, and I'm thinking, this is almost like a, it's almost like an old soul folk, you know, music
That is a
taste.
huge compliment.
But I mean, I really did. And I mean that, you know, in the best possible way. I love your taste in music, and thank you for introducing me to some new bands that I can listen to.
That's
So,
fantastic.
yeah.
I'm such a music head. Like, I have a playlist for waking up, for showering, for making breakfast, for cooking on the weekends versus cooking on the weekdays. Like, I have a playlist for everything. I can't do anything without music,
That is amazing.
which is another difficult thing for me is working. It's no, music goes away now. It's work time.
I mean, do you find yourself, can you do both? Can you listen to music and kind of get your work done, or is it depend on what you're doing?
It depends on what I'm doing. It also depends if it's classical or not, and it depends if I know the words. Because I have some playlists that I listen to a lot, but I know all the words, and then
Yeah,
I
then
start
you're just
typing
right.
out lyrics.
That's exactly. I got this email from you, and it just looked like a
Right.
song lyric. That's right in the middle of the email.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Well, thank you for letting me t chase that major rabbit there. But let's get
Yeah,
back
no
to
problem.
kind of what you're doing today. Give me kind of a day in the life of Kate Salke. I mean, what would it look like? What time do you get up? You know, how do you kind of organize your day. I mean, you seem extremely organized. I mean, you said that you were, and then you kind of proved it through, you know, some of the things you said. So,
I do
you
try
know,
to be.
as a type A here, how do you say, okay, here's what my day is going to look like. What does a typical day look like?
I wake up pretty early. I used to work at a gym, and so I had to open it, so I got used to waking up really early. So I'm usually up by 7. Sometimes I will check my Instagram first. I will answer messages. I will answer comments. I will search my statistics on Instagram from bed on my phone, doing like the one eye
Exactly.
and trying to see. Then I usually get up, get a shower, get dressed. I might start work then if I'm not feeling too hungry. If I am, then I'll go down and grab something and work while I eat. And It really depends on the day. Sometimes, for example, some of the sanctuaries, some of the temples, you like to get to early so
Right.
it doesn't get too hot.
Yeah. Or crowded,
But
yeah.
on a no and crowded. So on a normal day here, if we don't have something planned, then we will work in the mornings, eat breakfast. We might order in lunch. We might not eat lunch. We might go out for lunch and then maybe go to the beach in the afternoon.
Right.
Or meet some friends for dinner. But yeah, I do a lot of my working from in the morning because I find that's like my quiet time to kind of focus. And then in the afternoons, we usually come back like 3 or 4 and we do more work. And sometimes it'll go on until the night. And sometimes we go out for dinner. It depends.
So you
I
keep
know that was a little
referring.
bit all over the place.
No, I mean that makes sense. I mean, and you keep referring to we. Is this also kind of the course members? I mean, are you guys living in a house together, or what's kind of the group arrangement there?
So actually, four members just got to Bali yesterday. So they are living with Felix and the two and two others that have been here probably the longest and have been traveling for 4 or 5 years now,
Right.
doing network marketing with
Right.
this program. And I live with another one of the members. And so, yeah, it saves on cost.
Yeah,
And
for
then we
sure.
can all work together and teach each other things. So it's actually really, it's beneficial in every way.
Right. I mean, it probably also is more is from a safety factor too of traveling alone. I mean, you've got the group around you. So what compare Canada to Bali expense wise, living expenses, food, rent, that type of thing.
Well, the Arctic is ridiculously
Yeah,
expensive
sure.
in every way. It's also an island where I was, which is funny because Bali is also an island. So people expect things to be really, really cheap here, and some things are. But I've noticed that, we go out to eat, maybe just the two of us, and it's still like a $20, $25 bill in Canadian dollars. And so, I mean, it's not atrocious, it's not
Right.
terrible, but if you don't keep an eye on it, it does
Yeah.
add up.
Yeah.
Recently, I was in Mexico, I was living there for a little bit,
Right.
and the prices there for fresh fruit and vegetables are so inexpensive. But here, because it's an island, anything that's native to Bali is cheaper, but there's still a lot of really expensive
Right.
things.
Right.
You can go to the beach club, the high-end beach club, and get a $100 steak if you wanted to.
Sure.
So I think people come to Asia and parts of Asia and they just think it's gonna be, just pennies and cents. And it's not always the case. You do need to keep an eye on it. It definitely is cheaper in rent than
Yeah.
Canada, though.
And I would think, places like maybe Phuket, like in Thailand, or would be even cheaper than Bali, because Bali is
Oh,
such
yeah.
a, such a high, and high demand tourist area.
It
As
is
well,
now,
so
yeah.
just such a like a tourist destination. So, well, let's shift a little bit and kind of take a little bit of a deeper dive here. And I mean, you mentioned, the person that kind of got you into this, or was your initial coach. But is there one person online now that we may know, maybe somebody that is a little bit more famous than the famous Felix. That you may know that you kind of look to every day as for inspiration, or
Absolutely. So there's a photographer on Instagram, and his name is Quinn Schrock. And
how do you spell that
he
last name?
Schrock.
Okay.
And that's Quinn with one N.
Okay.
Anyways, he is from California and he is a professional photographer. And his Instagram account is Ever Changing Horizon. And he has some of the greatest pictures. I know actually Felix and I were talking about this the other day that he really likes motivational accounts
Sure.
that really have strong messages, but I really like nature and natural photography, and Quinn just gets these shots that are just impossible for anyone else to get. They're just incredible, and he does them a lot around the States and Canada in these places that you didn't. They look like tropical paradise, but it's, Utah. He finds these spaces that are just incredible. So I've been following him for a little while, and whenever I'm feeling like, ugh, like it's raining outside, I just want to sit in bed and like eat Balinese food, then I look at his photos and I'm like, you're right.
I'm
And
inspired again.
he's got an amazing following, and he's professional. He's got, I guess, contracts with really big names, so he's
Like
kind of
maybe
done
Natural
it.
Geographic and Condé Nast and places like that. He takes pictures for,
Yeah,
maybe.
it's incredible.
Well, tell me, is there a quote that that inspires you that you kind of, maybe you've taped on your laptop somewhere that this is okay, I got to read this every day. This is motivational.
Actually keep it in my wallet, and it's the I, most people have heard it. It's just the quote, if it was easy, everyone would do it.
Right. So where
Because it
what was
kind
the
of just.
origination of that? Do you know?
I mean, I probably just saw it somewhere, in like a guidance counselor's
There you
like
go.
office or something in high school, but it just kind of stuck with me, and it's true. Sometimes doing things the way that other people don't do them and being, doubted and things like that, they really get to you. But this kind of reminds me, you know what? I'm doing something that's right for me, and I'll help anyone who wants help, but I'm not gonna do what everyone else wants me to do, because I tried that and it didn't work.
You definitely have an independent, in a good way, independent spirit that, that's the way you're wired. And, you've kind of, no, you figured that out, and now you're trying to build a lifestyle around that. So what, you don't have
Exactly.
a really long runway, but if you go back 4 or 5 months, what is one piece of advice that you said that you could, would give yourself now that you wish you would have known then that would have, kind of been a game changer?
I wish I would have done it sooner. I don't know if I would have been prepared as much, but I wish I had kind of looked into this type of thing sooner and made myself a little bit more aware of it instead of constantly just moving jobs and thinking that, that's going to be it. So I wish I had known a lot sooner that this was kind of an option. Just because, you always say, oh, well, I'll start the next day. Procrastination on anything. And you're that much further behind when you finally do start. So why not start earlier and then have greater achievements and, I guess, wisdom than when you would have actually started?
Well, I mean, can you imagine being in my space? I mean, I've got clothes older than you, so I'm probably wearing clothes older than you. So this is a perfect segue into the very final segment that I want to ask you about. And this is it's kind of a we like to finish with almost like a micro course, a 3-step tiny little tidbit to leave our listeners with that, that have persevered through the entire episode and listened to it. But if act, let's kind of role play here a little bit, and I am
Sure.
interested in doing what you want to do. What are the what give me kind of the 3 steps, almost do a little mini coaching session with me or whatever that you would do that say, okay, here's 3 steps that you need to know or focus on or to kind of step into this. So I'm all ears.
All right. Well, first, I would probably ask you where you're currently based. Also, if it's what aspect of it is it that you like? We have some moms who want to just spend more time at home with their kids. They don't want to go traveling. We have some. I think our youngest is 19, and so he just wants to go out and travel. That's what he wants to do. So I'd kind of get a feel for who the person is, what kind of situation they're in. I'd also then number two. Is I'd like to know what kind of return that they are expecting. What can they live on? What kind of numbers are they looking at? Because that could also be, maybe this isn't for you, maybe it is. It just depends on how hard you're prepared to work. And then we would probably look at what course is best because there are a lot of different ones. And for me, I wanted it all. Like I said, I dove into this, so I wanted everything. So I was like, just, I'm gonna take it. But there are a lot of different ones where you don't have to have, maybe you aren't interested in e-commerce. Maybe you're interested in just the Instagram, Facebook portion of it, but it gives you a lot of information about like the back editing and how to have your Facebook, how to have your Instagram. And so it's a really informative course. So yeah, we would just discover what you're really looking for because you never want to have someone start something and then realize, no, maybe this isn't it. So we just want to make sure. Also, that person is then invited to the team if they want to be. And we want to make sure that we're surrounding ourselves with really motivated self-starters because we don't want any portion of our group to be taken advantage of or time wasted because that's not why we're here.
You don't, and you don't, you guys don't have the time to waste. I mean,
Not at all.
it needs to be productive. You know, the work time needs to be productive. So when you say we, is this a group that is, I mean, is there like a monthly subscription that you're paying to be in this group? Or are you just, is it the courses that you paid for that gets you in the group? Or what kind of, I guess, once you, let's say you've taken the three courses you want to take, are you in the group? Are you do you stay in the group? Or is it, what's the, you kind of refer to
If
this
you
group.
want to be, if you want to be, it's not a subscription. It's basically just a community. It's a community that helps each other out. We build each other up. Some people, they start their own businesses. I have a friend who does media marketing, and so it's not at all. I don't know anything about that. So he'll ask questions, and we'll all kind of put in our input. So it's more of a community just to have each other's back, answer questions, be there when someone needs it. So
Now,
yeah, it's not a subscription, and you don't have to be in it, but it is nice to have that kind of support.
sure. Now this, you're not talking about the Vagabond Blonde Adventures. You're talking about another group, or are you talking specifically
Yes.
about yours?
Nope, mine is my own brand, but this other group of people, we're just called the tribe, and we just help each other out. We just support each other, and so we all have our own things that we're doing. But if anyone has questions, then it's the place to go. It's kind of like having your personal Ask Jeeves.
Exactly. Yeah. And people that are, that have similar motivations and similar, you know, desires to, or passions. Now this is not specifically related to Bali. This is kind of a global tribe you're talking about. You could live anywhere and be part of this, so.
Oh yes, we're on every time zone. It just so happens that the two people that really kind of brought this company together are in Bali, and so a lot of us have come here because, I mean, it's gorgeous. It's a great place to be. It's a great place to meet everybody. So why not?
Give me a little bit of a, as far as the courses that you're talking about, kind of give me the price range and what we're talking about as far as these, is it a, you know, a 7-day mini course is $400, you know, a 10-month coaching, full coaching course is 10,000. I mean, what is kind of the course offerings that you're talking about in this group?
So, like I mentioned, there are a lot of different ones. And it does depend on what kind of things you're looking for. It also depends if we want you to be a part of
Sure.
our tribe. If you're gonna bring positive energy and motivation, it's a lot different. So, the courses range from about, I think the last time that I looked, because sometimes the prices change, were about 500 to about 4,000. But if you look at any courses online with, marketing and they go through everything, Shopify and Instagram and Facebook and a lot of others, these courses cost that much because they are kind of well, the future. They kind of allow us to work remotely like this, so they're definitely worth it. And one of the things that we also say is that these free courses, they don't motivate you. Like I have a fire now because I know that I invested my money and my time in
Exactly.
myself, so why not? I'm not just gonna walk away and just say, oh well, didn't work.
Right.
Like I don't have a plan B, so
Yeah. And a lot of the free ones, they lead to paid. So they're really
yes, they
just
do.
almost clickbait to get you in interested
Exactly.
enough to get to the paid version of whatever they're offering. So.
Yes. And I've taken a lot of those courses before I invested in this one because I wanted to make sure that I was taking the right one for me. And I almost bought another one actually, but it was more to travel and lifestyle,
Yep.
whereas mine is really about travel and travel tips and hacks and I really wanted to grow an online presence and
Right.
not just have a lifestyle page where I have pictures of
Sure.
food and clothing.
But the courses you're talking about more specifically are how to make money online, how to
Exactly.
create revenue type thing.
Yes.
Well, Kate, thank you for taking your time today, and as late as it is there, I could just continue to ask you questions on and on and on, and ad nauseum, and you'd probably fall asleep on the camera because I have kept you up into the wee hours of the morning. But it has been a delight to have you on Rising Tide. Is there anything that I haven't asked you about that you want to close out, or just tell people how they can find you? And this is your time to close it
Absolutely.
right here, and then I'll just wrap it up.
Perfect. Well, it was great to be here. It is late, but I'm pretty pumped right now. I'm pretty excited. So, if anyone wants to find me on Instagram, it's Kate Gets Lost. So it's KayteGetsLost. And then my Facebook group is Vagabond Blonde, and my fan page is Vagabond Blonde Adventures, and they're linked to each other. So, if anyone wants to find me, you know where.
All right. Well, I'll certainly make sure that those are also posted in the show notes. So if people listen to the episode and they go to the website page, those notes will be on there as well. But Kate, thank you so much for your time today, and thanks for kind of wrapping it up with some good tips and how we can people can kind of get into this lifestyle if this is something that interests them. And I just the whole tenor of the conversation, I just appreciate that, your kind of encouraging attitude, and just really it fits so well with what this we're trying to do here at our podcast. And that is to just want to thank you for helping all boats rise in a rising tide. Kate, thanks again.
Perfect. Have a great day.
See ya.